Conduct better educational leadership evaluations in less time with Super Eval, the online rubric-based evaluation tool for superintendents, principals, and central office administrators. Better communication that leads to healthy, efficient leadership teams, only at supereval.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Technology, teaching, and learning. On today's podcast, I've asked my colleague, Dr. Mike Spezialy, to join me to explore some of the thinking about technology and its impact on teaching and learning. So welcome, Mike.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Mike, why don't you give the listeners a just kind of a quick update on a little bit of your education background and working with technology in schools?
Sure, Steve. I'd be happy to, but I'm probably going to have to date myself a bit here. So I started my career as a special education teacher back in the late 70s, early 80s, and had the good fortune of getting a couple Apple IIe computers when they first hit the market. With those computers, we did a couple of things that I thought were pretty unique. We had our kids who were in high school emailing students from another school, and it was amazing to see how much it motivated the kids to actually want to write. So it gave them a purpose, if you will. So the other thing was that I had a visually impaired student who used Braille, and I didn't know how to read Braille. So we picked up a device called a VersaBrailler that allowed us to type on the computer and have it translated into Braille for him. And likewise, he was able to type on his Brailler and have it converted to print for us, which expanded our ability to be able to communicate in print format. Those two things stand out for me as the things that motivated me to want to learn more about educational technology because I saw how it could empower kids. And so I enrolled in one of the first doctoral programs in the country in educational technology at Lehigh University and received my degree in ed tech and administration several years later. And I have been a strong advocate for the effective use of technology in schools ever since.
Where do you think some of the greatest gains for student learning have occurred with technology coming to schools?
Well, it's been a mixed bag for sure ever since the beginning of use of computers in the classroom in those early 80s. In those days, we tended to throw computers and hardware at teachers without any thoughts of software or how the computers would be used in the classroom, and we expected miraculous results. Well, we didn't get the miraculous results we were expecting, and those same findings have resonated throughout the use of technology since those early days. Researchers throughout the years have found mixed results in the effective use of technology in classrooms. In fact, even today, if we look at two separate school systems that have exactly the same technological capabilities, we may find drastically different results. As you're probably aware, decades of research continues to support the notion that the number one factor in determining student success is the teacher. To ignore that, as we continually plan strategies as to how technology can reform education, is sheer folly. But on a positive note, when EdTech is effectively used, I see two areas that stand out where learning gains are quite evident. One is that it has the power to level the playing field for all students. There has been a significant body of research that suggests that the effective use of EdTech can close the experiential and the achievement gaps that we see across diverse populations of students. I think the second area that we see promise in is authentic learning and application of knowledge. Whereas traditional learning has focused on the development of factual knowledge, the internet has provided access to the collective of all human facts. I don't mean to suggest that some factual knowledge development is not important, though. Students need to have a base of factual information that allows them to meaningfully integrate what they know as they apply it to real situations. but I believe that important gains in learning have occurred at the higher ends of Bloom's taxonomy when technology is used effectively and not for the simple procurement of facts. Students now have tools at their fingertips that allow them to apply, analyze, evaluate, and create.
So am I hearing, with your background in history, you thought this was going to happen sooner, and the stage is set, you think, for it to have the impact today?
That's exactly right, Steve. My experience in the field has revealed that we go through phases of increased hype about a new technological innovation, followed by dismal results. But I sense that we in education are at a point where we can begin to put together all the pieces. Those obviously include various devices, software applications, and support, but equally, if not more importantly, capitalize on the native technological skill of students and a robust and systematic and sustained professional development program that all teachers need desperately.
Where do you think some of the greatest potential lies in impacting student learning at the spot we're at now? In other words, it's not happening now, but you think we're on the threshold of it being able to happen.
You know, I've asked many people over the span of my career to define the term educational technology, and inevitably there is little agreement, if any, on what it means. In fact, advances in technology have created divergent tracks in what used to be a very simple definition of educational technology that centered on computers and software. You know, there have been so many advances in technology lately that we can point our finger at, such as mobile devices, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, 3D simulated environments, cloud-based and social networks, augmented reality, and the transition of the web from a passive knowledge repository to a place where students and teachers alike can merge, manipulate, and create new content have all paved the way for what I believe to be a revolution in teaching and learning. I think in the end, the potential to contextualize knowledge through new technologies that then result in authentic application has tremendous potential for improving teaching and learning. Likewise, I think the ability to personalize learning is essential to helping every student succeed. If technology is used effectively to achieve these two goals, I believe that we will see tremendous gains in student learning.
One of the phrases that's appearing quite a bit now in looking at changes in schools is talking about an increase in student agency or student empowerment. People are describing moving from students being engaged to students being empowered. You see technology playing a role in our ability to move in that direction?
Oh, without a doubt. As I indicated before, new technology applications have provided a means for students and teachers alike to access, manipulate, and create content using a multitude of digital tools. But there is so much more available to students in this new era of technological advancement. And we mentioned a bunch of those earlier, Steve, in terms of what kinds of technology students can access. And I think those technologies provide a specific means of engagement for students, which I believe also is the precursor to empowerment. Research suggests that students who use various forms of technology in the learning process are more engaged and motivated to learn. And so providing the next logical step of student choice, authentic performance tasks, and a way for students to reflect on their performance truly set the stage for empowered learning.
When I talk to folks about students being empowered, I frequently connect to it that for that to happen, the teacher needs to be empowered. And you see a role that the technology being available in schools begins to play towards the empowerment of the educator.
So I think the answer to that question is a definite maybe. I guess it all depends on whether or not a teacher is willing to engage with the technology and to integrate it effectively in his or her classroom. Sometimes teachers are intimidated and shy away from the actual use of any of the technologies in their class. There really are so many things that teachers can be doing with technology these days, but let me just highlight if you will, three quick examples. You know, in years past, before we had the advancements of digital textbooks, students who were studying migrants entering the country would be using a paper textbook, and the information that was found in the pages of the textbook would be static and hard for some students to either interpret or comprehend. If you fast forward to 2017 and sit in a class now where a history teacher is dealing with that same topic, but using something like a Discovery Tech book, which is a digital textbook, students now have the ability to interact with the charts and graphs and manipulate them so they can see how one aspect influences another as they construct their own knowledge through inquiry and application. Another example is the ability of a teacher to actually take his or her students on a virtual field trip without ever leaving the classroom. You know, I'll go back to when I was a special education teacher and a lot of my students never had gotten any experiences outside of the city. So what I would do when I traveled was to take a camera, a 35 millimeter camera at the time, and take slides on a 90 degree rotation of whatever environment, whether I was in the woods or what have you. And then I would have those developed and then set up this really rudimentary kind of artificial environment where I would use four slide projectors, and the librarian would think that I was out of my mind for borrowing four slide projectors, but aim them at four different walls with white sheets on them and project that 360 degree environment. It's so much easier for teachers to do that now in terms of using virtual reality headsets and things where students can really experience the world firsthand by just donning these headsets, whether it's through Google Glasses and Google Expedition or any other form of virtual reality. And a third and final example I'll give here is actually a story about a colleague of mine who came to me when iPads first came out, when I was working at a university. Her nephew actually was in kindergarten and had gotten an iPad and was using an app called Puppet Pals. And he had dictated a script and gotten these animated puppets to act out the script, and is really excited about showing his teacher, his kindergarten teacher, the next day when he went to school. So he shows up with iPad in hand and brings it up to her, and he starts to try to show her what he had done, and he was very proud of it. And she told him, oh, you have to put that away now. It's time to learn. It's not time to play. And I think that's an example of a teacher who either lacked the knowledge about what the iPad was and how it could be used and how it could promote learning, or may have been intimidated because here was a kindergarten kid using a piece of technology that she may not have been familiar with, or just an inability to see what the potential for learning was in this particular situation. I'll talk about that in a little bit. There are just so many potential applications for technology to support the learning environment in the classroom and to extend the learning environment beyond the classroom to the home and into the community. It's just hard to keep up with them all at this point. I will, though, say that sometimes these advances in technology become very daunting for teachers who have not had sufficient training in the use of the hardware and software applications, and are sometimes intimidated by the fact that students come to schools in what they perceive to be a very technology-ready state, much like the kindergarten teacher that I mentioned in the previous example. And so the intimidation factor grows over time, and teachers become less likely to use any of these new devices or these new applications to enhance their teaching and learning environment. I often refer to the cycle of teachers who are entering, or pre-service teachers who graduate from college and are entering the workforce. By the time they actually end up in a classroom teaching, their technological savvy has been far outpaced by new devices that have been introduced and knowledge that students possess when they come to them. So that cycle is hard to break because technology advances at a tremendous pace. I think as educators and administrators, we've recognized this pattern for years, and we've attempted to provide professional development in an effort to bring teachers up to date on various technologies. but I think those efforts have, in many cases, been ineffective.
So you've perfectly walked me into where I was going in my mind. And I was wondering what you see needs to happen in teacher ed, teacher preparation, as well as ongoing professional development. And I'm hearing from you that in the past, we taught the teacher how to use the technology, but by the time the teacher gets here, that's not the technology that's being used. So what do you think it is that would describe the experience we need to be providing for educator learning, educator preparation, that will prepare people to step into these roles?
That's a really great question, and one I think I'd like to address at two different levels. First of all, in many college programs that prepare teachers, there may be one or maybe two classes designed to, quote, teach students how to use technology. They oftentimes run the gamut from simple things like word processing to spreadsheets or PowerPoint, presentation boards that typically appear in classrooms or other tools that you might find in schools these days. The problem I see is that there is insufficient time to both teach students how to use these technologies and how to integrate them. Outside of the technology class, students infrequently experience the actual application of technology in teaching. Many methods professors are trapped in the same cycle that I mentioned earlier. They are typically teachers who have gained years and years of experience as exceptional teachers before becoming college professors. But the problem is that unless they have made a bona fide effort to keep abreast of technology, they are typically even further behind colleagues who are currently in-service teachers. I believe that at the college level, that professors need to be supported through their own professional development program, and that the same professors need to be role models for prospective teachers in the effective use of technology. At the school district level, we need to be cognizant of the divide between teachers and students in their knowledge of the use and application of technology, and we need to provide a systemic and sustained professional development program for all teachers. PD has to be focused on two aspects, both the use of technology at hand, but more importantly, how the technology can be effectively integrated into the teaching and learning environment.
So, Mike, I do a lot of my work with school administrators and staff developers, instructional coaches. If you were to be meeting with an audience like that and making some suggestions as to how they work with teachers in practice today, what are some of the suggestions you'd have for those folks to consider helping teachers make the most out of the potential that technology has to offer?
First of all, I don't want to suggest here that the effective use of technology is a panacea that cures all. We are all well aware of the many factors that can contribute to student success and motivation. Unfortunately, many of those factors are beyond the control of teachers. I support the notion that the teacher needs to be the architect of a multidimensional learning environment that is designed to optimize learning for all students. But beyond that, teachers must recognize that there is still a substantial amount of hard work to overcome some of the barriers to learning. In terms of how administrators can support effective technology integration, first of all, they need to view it as a tool, and teachers need to develop skills in how those tools are utilized. It's analogous to a carpenter using a saw to hammer in nails. The ineffective use of a tool ends up in a less than effective and sometimes disastrous result. I would strongly suggest that before a school invests in the latest, greatest technology du jour, that they take a long look at their curriculum, their students, their teachers, their climate, their learning environment, and only after that will they be able to find the tool or tools and applications that can best be transformative for students in the learning environment. Lastly, I would offer that PD has to be high quality, it has to be continuous, and it has to be personalized to the needs of each individual teacher, the same as we stress personalization for students these days. The PD has to have two components. One is how to actually use the tools and software, and the second is how to effectively integrate those tools into the teaching learning environment.
So, Mike, if you could paint a wish for picture, if we were to walk in a school and see that they're on the right track to technology having an impact on teaching and learning that that you think it ought to be taking. Can you just paint me a little picture of what that might look like and sound like when I walked into a school?
So if I walked into a classroom in 1980 and I watched a teacher delivering a math lesson to a group of students, I would be looking for the interactions between the teacher and the students. I wouldn't necessarily be mesmerized by the teacher's skillful use of a blackboard or a whiteboard or an overhead projector. But that wasn't always the case. In the mid-1800s, when the chalkboard was first introduced, it was touted as a device that would revolutionize teaching, but teachers didn't readily adopt it. The chalkboard only became commonplace when schools adapted to support their use. The same is true for educational technology. The only difference is that technology changes more rapidly than our teaching and learning environments, and it becomes an exhausting process to keep up with it. That said, if I were to describe a school today that is really good at using technology, when I walk through their building, I would see various technologies being used everywhere. But yet when I'm immersed in the environment, I don't really notice them because the integration of technology is ubiquitous. The focus is really on learning, and the technology, no matter what it is, has become a tool used in the design and implementation of the learning environment.
So fair to say, if I were to walk in, I probably wouldn't be seeing the technology. I'd be more caught up in the learning that I was seeing happening.
I'll share a funny story about how that wasn't the case one time when I observed a teacher. The word was out in my school district that I was an avid supporter of technology use, and the teacher had spent hours creating a PowerPoint to do a class review on FAXT for a test. As I observed, she projected one question after another on a screen, and then she would press the forward arrow to advance to the correct answer. Unfortunately, she was a novice at the use of PowerPoint, and oftentimes she held the arrow too long, showing the answer first, and then she backtracked to the question. Needless to say, the entire lesson was kind of a disaster. All I could focus on at that point was the technology and not the learning because the use of it was completely ineffective. When I asked her afterward why she chose to use PowerPoint to do such a simple task of reviewing facts, her response was that she knew I was coming and she knew I was really into using technology, and so she wanted to integrate it in her lesson. So in our post-observation discussion, I pointed out the fact that I was interested in the use of technology, but only if it was effective in what it did and not to use technology when paper and pencil or other more traditional methods were really even more effective than the use of it. She went on to become one of my strongest technology users in the school, and I'd like to think that that conversation had a little bit of an impact on that. So to your point, Steve, that's not what you should be seeing in the hands of an effective teacher. That is the use of technology or just focusing, on the technology itself. If you were in a school where technology was being used effectively, you probably wouldn't notice it at all. It had just become commonplace.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.